Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of cleaning power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in the store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's Halloween, and it's time for something scary and good. But instead, we watched Leprechaun in the Hood.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to another episode of How Did This Get Made, the show where we try to make sense of the movies that make no sense. I am, of course, joined by my amazing co-host, as always, Jason Manzoukas. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. And June Diane Raphael, how are you?
Good. Hi, Paul.
Very good. I said very
so
good.
Delicate.
Yeah.
So delicate today.
Hi.
Oh, June couldn't make it. A baby is here.
If you were
I'm
listening,
just really young.
You really, yeah. That baby tee looks really odd on you.
That onesie you're wearing is very strange.
Don't worry about it. You guys, this is Hollywood.
It's a onesie. June is wearing a onesie that says, my mom is a slut.
it's in the little glitter spangles. We have a very special guest, as always. A horror aficionado, if you will. Kumail Nanjiani, how are you?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, you
Kumail,
look very cute,
also
too.
Wearing a onesie that says, I break for tits.
But his shorts are even better with the bootylicious shorts.
I break for tits.
So, Kumail, you like a good horror movie, right?
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to do a horror movie with you, because I know you love movies, you love bad movies as much as we do, and this one, Leprechaun in the Hood, is pretty amazing. If you don't know anything, this is the fifth in a series of, I believe, six Leprechaun films.
And the sixth one is a sequel to this one.
Right, called Back to the Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, I did some research and
How dare us only do the first installment?
Where did the other ones take place?
Well, one took place in space.
That's the worst
one.
What? Yeah, Leprechaun in space.
That one's really bad. That one's totally unwatchable. This one is like Casablanca compared to that one.
Because this one was totally unwatchable.
No. Watch in space.
Because tell me about in space. Are they dealing with astronauts or aliens?
They're in space, and what the problem with that one is, they were like, all right, let's do a full-on comedy. So it's just like terrible gags. Yeah.
Well, now, this one, I don't want to blow anybody's mind here, but is actually a prequel to Leprechaun number one and Leprechaun number two.
What?
It says this is chronologically, this takes place after the events. Oh, Leprechaun 1.
This is like Star Wars. This is like the fifth movie exists before the first two movies.
So basically, Leprechaun 5 and 6 happen, and four, I guess, happen before. Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, no, you know what? It just says, I guess it's just Leprechaun and Leprechaun Back to the Hood and Leprechaun 3 all take place before Leprechaun 1.
Well, what does any of this get us?
I had no idea. Yeah.
Well, exactly. What you can do, and what I believe people are doing right now, is they are cutting together the Leprechaun movies in chronological order, like Francis Ford Coppola did with Godfather 1 and 2. He cut them in, so it's one big movie. So you're seriously watching it all the way through chronologically, so it makes more sense. Okay. You know,
I mean, obviously. It does. This is a meaty franchise. I mean, because, you know, it starts in the 70s. Basically, if you want to know what the premise of the movie is, I'll just read you what Wikipedia says. Wannabe Los Angeles rap artist Postmaster P,
which, it's already amazing.
Who is a rapper who delivers a positive message.
That's why Postmaster P, delivering message of positivity.
I love it. With his two bandmates, Stray Bullet and Butch, accidentally free a leprechaun that was imprisoned by a record producer, Mac Daddy Onassis, played by Ice-T, 20 years earlier. And the film follows the three as they attempt to evade the powerful leprechaun and the violent Mac Daddy, both of whom seek a magical flute with mind-altering capabilities possessed by the young trio. So the young trio has a magical flute the leprechaun wants.
That's a pretty good elevator pitch. Yeah. Listen, let's go to floor 32 because I got to get this out.
Because we all know elevators, leprechauns have magical flutes that possess mind control powers. So let me tell you what happens next.
Basically, the beginning of the movie starts off in the 70s with Ice-T talking to his fellow friend, and they're finding a treasure map. And he's like, how much did you pay for that treasure map? Because the treasure map just led to hamburgers and malt liquor.
Yeah. Yeah. That was called a Cold 54.
Cold?
Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
It said Cold 54 on it.
Oh, my God.
So they're upset because their treasure map that they bought in the 70s led to just Cold 54. They get into a fight, and they break open another window or another wall, and there's a leprechaun in there.
Stone. Turned to stone.
Turned to stone, who has a pot of gold and a magical chain around his neck.
And a magical flute.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of magical things.
They take the necklace off the magic. The leprechaun.
No, first Ice-T takes the magical flute and he goes, Motown, here I come. This is all I want.
Yeah, well, how did he know it was?
This is all I want. Motown, here I come. What? What are you talking about, Motown, here I come? Well, at this point, Motown is borderline irrelevant to the music community.
I bet this question is explained in Leprechaun 6, how he knew about this.
I don't
flute.
Remember there being a magical flute in the other movie, so at some point, they lose the magical flute.
Well, the magical flute seems to only, mind-alter people, but I don't know what it does, because
it just makes them look at you.
They makes them look at you, and then I guess you can brainwash them into writing music, because here's the whole thing. Watching this movie, I felt racist just by watching it.
Oh, jeez.
It's so racist. I think the conceit of the actual movie is rap music is so bad, and no one would ever listen to it unless they were hypnotized by a magical leprechaun flute. I mean, that's because this rap group, Postmaster P, they're good. They're not bad. I mean, they're good, quote, good. But when they play the flute, that's when people get into them.
Yeah, because their whole thing is that they want to be positive and nobody's ready for it. But then they play the flute and then people are like, oh, this is okay. Well, I also like how the movie jumps through hoops to set up rap performances.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
They go to the church. Yeah, yeah, and the priest is like, our group can't make it. Can you guys step in?
Oh, the church has the craziest moment of all time. They're performing at the church. And one of the guys goes, hey, look, Coolio.
Oh, yeah.
And Coolio just is standing at the front of the
door. I think he just wandered onto the set.
That was
it. And they just left the camera running.
By the way, the movie's set in Compton, and I was obsessed with how in a lot of their impromptu performances, when, by the way, they're hiding from Ice-T because they think he's going to shoot them, they do have a concert in the apartment complexes. But in a lot of the crowd shots, there's just random white people there.
Oh, yeah.
There's an older white gentleman in a golf polo, standing there, why?
There's so much in this movie that makes absolutely no sense. And I really, I genuinely wish we could get Warwick Davis to talk to, because he's now made so many of these movies that I'm what is happening?
I
for
was
you?
Thinking, like, if yeah. you think of the two most popular little person actors, it's Warwick Davis and Peter Dinklage, and their careers could not be more different.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Dinklage, Emmy Award-winning actor,
station agent.
Warwick Davis has a lot of dialogue that rhymes in his movies. He's always asking riddles in his movies.
Val Kilmer has carried him on his back.
He gets set on fire a lot.
Wait, so in the other Leprechaun movies, what does the Leprechaun want? Is he always looking for that pot of gold?
He wants his gold back. Every yeah. That's his thing.
So this is sort of, this departs from the rest of them.
Well, he wants his gold. No, he wants his magical flute is gold.
Yeah, it's gold. Yeah, so always it's his gold. Because all these horror movies, bad ones, are like morality plays, you know, like people who do bad things get bad things happen to them. Like, you know, have sex, you get killed. And this is sort of from that genre. You steal the gold and then, by the way, the protagonists who are the good guys are the worst, most terrible people to try and con people. They shoot Ice-T right away in the beginning. They steal the gold. They
shoot the leprechaun.
Yeah. They're raging homophobes.
And they're really offensive to Asian people.
Yeah, they hate Asians.
They're not the nicest of guys. I mean, the other thing about this movie, like, I was reading about it, and people were like, oh, it's campy and it's fun. It was not written or performed campy. It's written like... it's not written like winking. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like they're writing like a...
Well, there are jokes in it. Like they're jokes. Like they're constantly joking with the guy who's a virgin. And when when they go to the guy's mom, grandmother's house,
blind mom,
she's like, she's blind, and she's like, "Are you still a virgin, boy?" You know. Like,
I thought the virginity was going to pay off. He was going to have sex with the grandmother.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Because there was something that was amazing to me. Basically, the leprechaun is frozen if you can get the necklace on him. And there's no clever way that they get the necklace on him both times in this movie to freeze him. Something happens where the necklace is thrown into the air, and then somehow it lands perfectly around the leprechaun's neck. I mean, it's the worst.
Well, that's it. That's the only way to get it around his neck is just sheer accident.
Like,
otherwise, it doesn't work.
Nope.
Ice-T freezes him, puts him in a glass box, but to keep him in his office. But basically, he stepped on a plank. The plank shot up the necklace and it fell on its thing. Now he's been asleep from the 70s to the 2000s.
Yeah.
The first thing that happens when he's unfrozen. He makes a Tiger Woods joke.
That's his first line.
Yeah. His first line is like a rhyme about Tiger Woods.
He says, unhand me gold, you thieving hoods. You got more gold than Tiger Woods. A man who is not known for having a lot of gold.
Also, how does this leprechaun keep up with current events? He's been frozen for 40 years.
Maybe in the 70s he was following this guy's career. He was like, you know what? At some point this guy's going to be huge.
And when I get a chance, I'm going to take a shot with him. Hope it pays off.
I'm going to shoot the moon on this one.
Oh, my God. And the leprechaun now is freed again in 2000, and there's some crazy shit that goes on here. Like, there's one scene where they decide the positive group, Postmaster
who has,
B.
Chemistry set as part of their performance.
Yes.
Why?
When they rap, they have a complex, explosion thing going on. That was the
cool. The virgin mixes chemicals to make smoke and explosions.
Well, then later
but
on,
it, like the first scene they're performing and it explodes and blows them off the stage.
His chemistry is questionable though. Later on he mixes a douche with jelly.
I love that I love that they're auditioning for this Las Vegas competition in what looks like a shitty Italian restaurant.
It's like a Thai restaurant or something.
It's the Hip Hop Cafe.
Is it called
the Hip Hop? The Hip Hop Cafe.
Yeah. Oh my God. when they decide to rob Ice-T, because Ice-T was very mad to them, they kind of gather together. And did you guys see this fading shot where a guy is walking to them on the train tracks and they cut the scene three times to get the guy closer? Like he's walking.
First they're like, who's that?
Jump cut.
First, they're like, who's that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Who's that? It's your friend. You've been in every scene with him.
Yeah, we've only seen you guys together.
Why would there be another person walking towards you on
and
the train track?
He's 15 feet away.
And then they're like, oh shit, it's P. It's Postmaster P. And I was like, holy fuck, this is crazy.
They cut Postmaster P walking 15 feet. They do three dissolves to get him there closer. Like someone severely mistimed that scene.
I loved when they jumped off a roof of a building. Landed in a dumpster and then ran away. I was like, what? You guys would be straight up paralyzed right now.
Also, their logic is incredibly flawed. Ice-T, who has become a success in the rap business because of his magical flute, basically gets on the phone and is like, I'm going to cut off your balls. I'm going to feed it to my pit bull. And when my pit bull shits it out, I'm going to light it on fire. And like he hears them, and, oh shit, you know, Onassis is a hard ass dude. And they go, let's rob him. The next scene is like, let's rob this guy that we know is the most tremendously aggressive dude in the world.
Also, can I say something though? Ice-T, not phoning it in. Ice-T is swinging for the fences.
And he's wonderful.
He crushed this movie.
Yeah.
You guys.
I bet he got his SVU part from
I
this.
I was thinking that too.
Like Dick Wolf is watching it like, that guy.
Well, that's exactly why I was like, he's not playing it campy. He's playing it real. Let's actually hear, this is a scene where the leprechaun confronts Ice-T.
In the bathroom?
In the bathroom.
Megan, get you some, okay? That's what you need chronic.
He's talking to himself in the mirror.
He's gonna smoke some weed.
You need to relax, cool out. Smoke a joint.
The leprechaun shows up.
Yeah. Curious aroma.
So Ice-T hands him the joint at this point. The leprechaun now is smoking weed.
Ice-T is great in this scene.
Interesting blend. Interesting bullshit. That's the bomb right there. The bomb?
It's like a peace offering.
This is
the bomb.
This is like the
a
scene.
A friend with weed is a friend indeed. But a friend with gold is the best, I'm told.
So now he passes the joint back to Ice-T. Ice-T goes to grab it, but the joint is dropped.
In slow motion.
Oh, God,
what happened?
Well, he goes, you ever hear a gold finger? and he rips off Ice-T's finger.
Does he have a gold finger? No, I never got that.
He had a ring on that was gold, so he rips off his finger to get to his ring.
And he has gold finger. Ice-T is like, oh, you motherfucker! You cut off my finger! And he's like sitting there with like a stump, a bloody stump. And then the leprechaun goes off into the other room, and he said he's going to go kill that green motherfucker.
The leprechaun is able to move throughout the world with agility and facility that makes no sense. Like, he gets into bar bathrooms, he gets into the pawn shop, everywhere he wants to go, he can go without anybody being like, hey, there's a fucking monster right there.
Yeah. and also, this leprechaun likes weed. He definitely likes
weed. I wanted three things from this movie before I watched it, Paul. I wanted him to smoke weed. I wanted him to rap.
Got it.
And I wanted him to refer to his gold as bling, which he never did.
Oh.
Why did they never do that?
You're right.
Huge oversight.
Oh, you're right. We got to call these guys.
But to me, also, that scene between the leprechaun and Ice-T was kind of like that scene in Heat between De Niro and Pacino. Really, actors.
You've been waiting so long for these two guys to get together
Get together, have that scene.
Yep.
Mano y mano.
When Ice-T gets shot, when he interrupts the robbery and he gets shot there.
Right at the beginning,
Right at the very beginning and falls down, passes out, but then we realize he's been saved
by a
from
gold
a bullet
coin.
By a gold like medallion.
Yeah, I mean that's what we're supposed to buy.
He does take it out and kiss it and goes, oh, thank you for this. But then he's like, oh, my flute. Now,
but why did he pass out from that?
You got shot with a bullet. You got knocked back and he hit
you
his head.
All right.
Hey, June. Don't poke holes.
All right, I'm sorry, you guys.
Don't poke holes, because that is one of the only logical parts of this movie.
Now, there is a question that I have about this Jackie C and Jackie D scene. Do you remember this? Like, there was a guy, I don't even remember what he necessarily did in the movie.
He was the pawn shop
owner.
Was he the pawn shop guy?
Oh, yes, he was the first pawn shop guy. These, Postmaster P is trying to sell a Jimi Hendrix guitar.
From a made-up festival. Like, you guys are the worst con men. Say something that actually
exists.
It
ends in Palooza.
Yeah, Psychedelic Palooza, I think it was called.
In 1971, when Jimi Hendrix was dead. Now, also, like, they're trying to pawn off this autographed Jimi Hendrix guitar.
If you notice, every single scene with that Asian guy is completely redundant with the scene before it.
Oh, yeah.
The first one, they try and sell the Jimi Hendrix guitar to Jackie C, then to him. Later, they go to Jackie C, they use the flute to establish the powers of the flute.
Yes.
Then they go to the Asian guy, do the exact same thing.
No new information.
For no reason.
No new information.
For no reason.
And the flute, in the beginning, he'll just blow it, and people will stare at him, and then he's like, what are you guys staring at? And like, oh, nothing. I don't even understand how the flute works.
The flute, am I right? The flute didn't make any sound, right?
No. It's like a dog whistle.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I kept being like, what's going on? Like, why isn't something coming
out
of the
flute? Well, the first time he put it in his mouth, I'm like, does he just have it in his mouth and he's deciding whether or not to blow it? Like, I didn't quite know.
It is the exact reaction that people would have, though, if somebody was, like, blowing a flute in a pawn shop. Like, who's this fucking asshole?
Yeah,
what's he doing?
What's going on? Now, Jackie C, I guess, or Jackie D, the pawn shop guy, is driving home at night and sees, like, his former love.
Stray Bullet's mother.
Oh, right.
What?
Yeah, they say later on that.
Oh, yeah, the blind grandmother says something about it.
So, Stray Bullets.
Layers and layers.
Like an onion, you just keep on peeling.
By the way, I want to cry.
Postmaster P, all about bringing the positivity. Stray Bullet, not so much.
No.
Doesn't seem like that was
His name is Stray Bullet.
when they go to a.
Like, doesn't imply control.
Postmaster P bringing positivity. Stray Bullet, straight up killing you. Random.
Not even meaning to, yeah.
The Stray Bullet ultimately never, like, he's always putting his foot in his mouth. When they go to perform at that church, they're singing like, Jesus loves me this much I know, and it was like,
if he doesn't love me, I'll take some hoe.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, hey.
You should know that's not a thing to say in a church.
And he looks like, I don't know. So back to that scene. So the pawn shop guy is driving away, and then he sees his former love, Stray Bullet's mom, and all it is like, He just starts going, oh, Jackie D. And she's like, I want you back. I want you back. And they start, like, making out on the street. And then the woman, who's also named Jackie D and Jackie C start making out. And then Jackie D becomes a leprechaun.
But then the leprechaun is somewhere else.
Under the car?
we don't know where the leprechaun is.
He's just in like a dark area.
Can I tell you what I think happened in that scene? I think that they didn't know what to do. They had that woman turn into a leprechaun, and they just used footage of when the leprechaun was caught in the safe, because he's kind of like in a little safe, and they cut to him like in this little box, like he's nowhere. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
This
like,
is similar to what you were saying, Jason. His powers are so vague in the movie. He can set people on fire.
Yeah.
He can shoot like holes in people's stomachs.
Yes.
He can.
He has like telekinesis.
He has telekinesis. He can summon zombie fly girls.
Yes.
But then he also just chokes people sometimes
and stabs people sometimes. Yeah.
It also makes you think though, like, what does he need with this food?
Or gold.
Or gold.
Who cares?
Yeah.
He appears to be
That's his Achilles
omnipotent.
Heel. Yeah. That's his Achilles heel. Yes, he's omnipotent, but he's obsessed with his gold.
Yeah.
And not even a big pot of gold. A small,
it's
a
not
smallish
that much.
Pot. Yeah.
It's
he seems immortal as well. Unkillable. Like, they shoot him 10,000 times. Yeah. They shoot the arms off of his body.
Yeah.
And yet he still is reconstituted.
Yeah, sure.
He goes, come on, me arm. Get over here.
He
and then there's
back.
Smoke. There's smoke. And he stands up and is like, eh, I'm all better now.
Do I have to say, I felt that the kills for a horror movie were pretty unimpressive. I mean, there's like one or two good
and
ones.
And redundant.
Like the lot of ripping through people's cores. Like he shoots, you know, a hole through somebody's body. And
the
he
shooting
puts his
the
hand.
Hole through is like, how is that part of, then why don't you just kill everybody?
Yeah, just shoot
why
holes.
Why is it so difficult to get the gold back?
He can put, apparently he can put out a electricity with his hands.
Yes.
He electrocutes that guy in the bar after the weed smoking scene.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and I was like, he can do that? Like, who is he? The Emperor in fucking Star Wars?
then sometimes he'll do, like we said, he'll just go in for a simple choke.
Yeah.
Or stab someone with an afro pick.
Or sometimes
that was great.
Sometimes he just walks away.
Yeah.
He walked out of scenes a number of times. Just like, well, not today.
This is not,
like,
this is,
oh, okay.
I'm not satisfied.
I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling this
right
kill.
Now.
Well, my favorite scene is kind of close to the end where Postmaster P has brainwashed people into liking his music, which is not bad by the standards of this movie, and
but is like pretty morally reprehensible in terms of creativity.
True. That is true. And so they win. They're really excited. The leprechaun goes to see them. And the leprechaun also has a power of just controlling people's hands.
Yeah.
Like, and so he makes Stray Bullet, who pulls out a gun to point at the leprechaun, to point the gun at Stray Bullet's head. Now, my whole thought was, why doesn't Stray Bullet just move his head back and forth? Because, like, his hand is frozen, but his body is not. And then the leprechaun also moves the gun over to somebody else. Yeah, that's what he does.
To Postmaster P.
Yeah, he moves it over to Postmaster P's head. And it's like, just move, Postmaster P. You're not frozen. You can get...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Stray Bullet doesn't want to shoot you.
Also, Postmaster P, you are aware that there is a very famous rapper called Master P, right? You can't just be like, my name is GZ. I'm going to be huge.
Postmaster P, that was, and oh my gosh. I mean, obviously, not no spoilers, but when Postmaster P at the
seriously,
end.
Seriously, Paul, don't do any spoilers right now. I mean, like, just really.
We can't. Well, I don't want to, I'll allude to it.
Do you guys really not do spoilers?
No. At the end, when Postmaster P, Postmaster P at the end, when he does go to Vegas to perform, the rest of his band is all dead, which we'll get into. But now is he a hardcore rapper at the end?
Well, that's the thing, is that once he gets the flute, he, which is when any song he makes people are gonna love, that's the magic of the flute.
Yeah.
He abandons his message of positivity and just goes into like songs about shooting people. So his arc is going from a good guy to sort of a bad guy.
Yeah, because at the end,
and especially he becomes a bad guy when he's given the power to
be a good guy.
Out a good message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the problem was, Ice-T was like, you can't sell this positive shit. You got to talk about shooting people. You got to talk about, like, that was Ice-T's big, like, speech to them. And Postmaster P was like, we can't do that because then we're just like him.
Yeah.
And we can't be that, blah, blah, blah. And then when he has access, he just is just like him.
Yeah. And they go right from there to saying we have integrity to trying to cheat, to trying to con the pawn shop people by lying to them.
And then after
and
they don't con the pawn shop people, They rob and shoot Ice-T.
Trying to use the flute to just trick people into
them. And then when they go to the church, they lock the leprechaun in a box and they tell the priest, like, hey, can you take care of this? They're responsible for like 15 deaths in that movie. Well, Postmaster P is.
And they put the leprechaun in a steel vault. And he escapes, but you never see how or why
he
escapes.
Well, he summons the zombie fly girls, which is another power he has.
Yes.
I assume they go and unlock him.
I guess, but you don't see that.
No.
You don't even understand how that happened, because one zombie fly girl comes in, and immediately the preacher who sees the zombie fly girl is like, ooh, I can speak in tongues. Let me show you. Like, and he's going to make out with her. And then he takes off her glasses. She's zombie. Like, and then all of a sudden,
which glowing green eyes don't mean zombie. Do you guys know what zombies are? Like, why did they call them zombies? They weren't zombies.
They were just possessed. And then the creepiest thing in this movie was at one point they find out that the leprechaun has been taking random women off the streets, and they hypothesize he has been fucking them until they die.
Really?
And he goes,
because they bring up the new, they bring the new girls at the end, remember? And that's why the two guys, Master P and Butch,
that's why they dress up as women.
They dress up as women so that the leprechaun will try and fuck them.
Yes,
to death.
Because he goes, wait, man, he's bringing these girls up there. What does he do with them? I don't know, man. I bet he fucks them to death. And then,
so it's just conjecture.
You don't know because those girls disappear. And so then they decide to dress up as girls and drug the leprechaun with weed laced with four-leaf clovers.
Which is a running thing in all the movies. That's actually a thing.
Okay.
They kill him with four-leaf clovers.
Oh, really?
After reading Leprechauns for Dummies, the book. The yellow leprechauns. Right.
But the leprechaun wasn't actually fucking women to death. Or
but,
was he?
Because
but
when he they like... dress up as women, he goes, come over here and I'll give you the bone.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I love Quince. Why do I love Quince? Well, maybe you should ask my 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater that I got for $50. Or maybe you want to talk to my washable silk top or some of my 14 karat jewelry. Well, you're wasting your time because they can't talk, but I can talk for them and say that Quince is the best because all their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do it? Well, they partner with the top factories. They cut out the middleman, okay? And they pass the savings on to you. I love this wool Quince hat I have, but I also love my Quince quarter zip Mongolian cashmere sweater. It is truly one of my wife's favorite outfits. And when your wife likes one of your outfits, you know that you've done right. Anyway, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bonkers for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bonkers to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's right, quince.com/bonkers. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the news? Well, you are not alone. Listen to Love It or Leave It, hosted by former Obama speechwriter and comedian John Lovett. As a former White House staffer, he is no stranger to political chaos. But don't worry, that doesn't mean he's keeping a cool head in today's chaos-filled news cycle. Far from it. It is the only show where you hear Golden Globe winner Greta Lee give award-worthy readings of listener mail and Kathy Griffin go off on all things MAGA. Hold tight to your sanity and listen to Love It or Leave It wherever you get your podcasts. There is, how about the scene after Stray Bullet dies?
Spoiler alert.
Postmaster P. Stray Bullet gets shot, or Stray Bullet shoot, or somebody, I forget. I think Stray Bullet gets shot.
Stray Bullet shoots himself.
Oh, he controls, the Leprechaun controls him, and then he shoots himself.
Stray Bullet shoots himself in the head.
He doesn't try to move his head.
It gets really dark at the end.
It does.
Really upsetting.
And they don't show them blowing his head off.
No.
They just cut to black. And then the next scene, they've put Stray Bullet's body in a car by the train tracks. Arguably the most interesting scene. Like, how did they get Stray Bullet's body out of this club?
Why did they do that, though? Did they think that they were going to be implicated in Stray Bullet's death?
I don't know.
Like, it seemed like they were setting up Stray Bullet to be found that way, as though he killed himself in the car alone.
But yeah, so they had to have taken his body out of the club, put it in the car, then parked the car by the train tracks. Like, all right, man, see you later. Stray Bullets dead. But it made no sense on why they needed to get Stray Bullet's body out of there, because it was a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah. Stray Bullet.
And so Postmaster P obviously is having some terrible nightmares. One.
Nightmares within nightmares. Yeah, a lot of fake outs.
He has two nightmares. One nightmare is the leprechaun comes over to his grandma's house for food, and the grandma stabs the leprechaun's eye out.
That's what you want to happen.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But that was a nightmare. Like, oh.
While she's trying to feed him with a fork, she ends up stabbing his eye out. That's
and
great.
Because she's so blind, she keeps on missing his
she's
mouth,
like the blindest
hilarious.
Person in the world.
Which is like a really terrible homage to like Frankenstein, the blind man in Frankenstein. Like, there are some like broad comedy moments like that. Been like, and when Ice-T pulls a baseball bat out of his afro wig.
Jesus.
But that's it. Like, there's like two of those big, broad moments. And the rest is like,
well, there's
no.
The rapping at the end. I have a question. Is the rapping happening within the world? Or is it sort of a something about Mary, Monsoon, I mean, what's that one?
No, something about
Some Dog Millionaire kind of thing, where they're like, the hard part's over, now let's have some fun.
Yeah. No,
We're walking out of the theater, we're getting our coats on. Let's have a good time and tell our friends
that we
saw.
It was so much fun to make this movie, guys.
I totally believe that rap scene was in the middle of the movie, but it was too long because it showed how he made all the girls fly. And I think they were like, oh, we gotta drop it at the end, because at the end of the movie, when Postmaster P pulls down his glasses, we see that he has now become
a
leprechaun.
It's got a bad ending. The bad guy wins.
Yeah, the bad guy wins, and then it cuts over to the leprechaun, who's still free, and he goes, I taught him everything he knows.
Yeah.
And now, let's play the leprechaun rap here. We don't have to hear the whole thing, but we can hear a little bit.
From the land of the Irish Spring, Dublin's the place where I learned my thing. From the Emerald Isle to your place in the hood, I'm the man of green, come to do no good. Lep in the hood, come to do no good. Lep in the hood, come to do no good. Blunt is dope, this place is hot. There's a lassie, she's just my type.
And now he's transforming hot girls into zombies.
I've been late so long, it's trapping.
And again, no one questions
I'm good.
That the leprechaun is just outperforming or anything.
Don't worry, little you've got nothing to fear. Sit with the lad who's
so you get an idea of that. You don't have to hear any more of that. Oh, my God. And the guys, when they dress in drag to defeat the leprechaun, one guy doesn't even shave his mustache. And he goes, hey, we look really good. And he's got a full mustache. Like, just do that. It wasn't even it's like a prince mustache. It's not even a full mustache.
Is that Butch? Is Butch the one who
doesn't Butch the one that is dressed up as like a church lady.
Oh, man.
And Postmaster P looks like kind of hot in a red
dress.
Yeah,
he's like super
jacked.
He's
like super sexed up. Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, we talk about these movies and we give a very unfair point of view to it, because sometimes people actually really do like these movies. So here is now a chance to hear a second opinion. So, based on Amazon reviews, there are some people who genuinely like this movie. Brian Tyler goes, you should see this movie. It was the best of all leprechauns, spelt C-A-H-N-S, like James Caan.
Leprechauns, like a Jewish leprechaun? Yeah. Oh, a leprechaun.
It was the best of all leprechauns, except for the first. It's funny, it's scary, it's weird, it's sick. And the leprechauns, and he puts E-S, then he puts in quotes, women are hot.
Yeah.
5 stars.
What?
Distressed goes, so far this fifth movie in Leprechaun is probably the best. It's better than the fourth and a bit better than the third. But if you don't like coarse language, steer away. There's also a lot of sexual innuendo, some of it pretty sick. Still, I give it 5 stars.
Amazing.
A lot of 5-star reviews. Now, there was a couple people who agree with us, and this is the one that I wanted to read. It's different than the second opinion, but it was pretty good because it's so specific. Anon goes, this is the worst film ever made. Everyone knows it, even Ice-T. Not even Ben Affleck could have saved this movie.
Whoa!
I just noticed that he spelled Ice-T like iced.
Oh, yeah, like Ice-T.
Ice-T.
Like a pasta. Yeah, that's awesome.
Not even Ben Affleck could have saved it.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about? Because here's the thing.
Iced-T.
Ben Affleck could totally have saved this movie.
Yeah, he totally could take it.
It's within his power as both an actor and a director.
Oh, my God. So crazy.
Yeah, the first one has Jennifer Aniston in it.
Yeah, that's Jennifer Aniston's first role as in Leprechaun.
Right.
Man alive. Anything else you guys saw that we did not mention, anything we talked about?
I was just happy to hear the word scrubs again.
No scrubs?
They did use the word scrubs more than once in this movie. I was excited.
I love that when the leprechaun starts sort of using, the first time he hears rap, he's like, what is this sound? and then he starts using, I love when he uses the slang, you know, like he says, da bomb. And
he loves the bomb. Like the bomb was like, it was like your dad teaching your dad that, like, because he's like, what do you think of this girl? He's like, she's da bomb. I did do a lot of research last night and looked online. Warwick Davis says, he wants to do Leprechaun 7. Jeez. There are scripts, but no one is
scripts
biting.
Scripts plural?
Said scripts plural. There are 7 Leprechaun movies
right now.
Lots
of people wrote spec scripts.
Oh,
Leprechaun 7.
Oh my God. I can't believe we didn't talk about this. The head of the record company that signs Postmaster P, Dope Disc Productions, this guy walks in like from a 70s exploitation film. He's like a white guy wearing like a fur coat. He's like, hey, I'm so-and-so from Dope Disc Productions. And like, oh my God. It's like, but he's not doing anything really white. He's not doing anything really black. He's just dressed really weird like he's from the 70s. And they're so psyched to be signed by this guy. When Ice-T was set up as the guy that you want to be with. But I guess Ice-T is not, he's not dead at that
point. Is Ice-T with also Dope Disc? Or is Ice-T his own thing?
No, he has his own thing. He has
Onassis, right?
Yeah, I don't remember what his label was called, though.
I think also what's weird that fucks it up for me is that there's a song where you listen to Ice-T's characters rap.
Yeah.
And he calls himself Ice-T in the rap.
He does, yes.
You can't fucking do that.
Yeah, not when you...
You're playing somebody else. Coolio could do that because he's playing himself.
Well, yeah, and Coolio literally...
So in this world, Ice-T also is a rapper?
There is an Ice-T out there.
That was his only misstep in this movie. Can we agree?
It, I do love that. I can't impress on you more that Coolio literally is in this movie for a shot. No dialogue. It's like, Coolio shot, and then they go back to the scene.
And he got third billing. It was, Ice-T, Warwick Davis, and then Coolio, if you look at the credits.
It's amazing.
Wow.
He must have had to pay off some sort of debt.
Yeah,
or
right?
Some, I mean, he has no lines. No anything.
He just looks. He just walks into the church and is like, huh?
Oh, my God.
And everyone's like, is that Ice-T? And that's the end of that scene.
Oh, and why did the preacher have a gun underneath his pulpit? Like, at one point, they go, They're going to go fight the leprechaun, and then Postmaster P grabs under the pulpit and goes, we're going to need this. And the preacher is like, how did you know about my gun under there? Like, in what situation would you be running a sermon and have to pull out a gun like a convenience store clerk?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening?
Yeah, they come to rob the church.
Also, that priest charges him to sleep there like a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like,
that
hotel.
Was terrible.
That guy was corrupt.
Yeah, he was the worst.
That scene, I know you just mentioned it, but when more you think about it, the weirder it is when they rap like about anti-Jesus and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then they play the flute and then they do the same rap. And
but
with beats
it.
Now. But yeah. The first time they do it a cappella, like they're singing in church, and then they hypnotize everybody. Everybody comes back into church because everybody's gotten so mad that they've offended, they've said offensive things about Christ. So now everybody's under their control. And now it's just a straight up hip hop song with beats and everything, but they're unprepared for that.
Yeah.
Like, but, and the crowd, the churchgoers are really into it, but the song is also like it's
the
sort
same
of,
lyrics.
Yeah, it's like
same...
Jesus had a mother. Her name was Mary.
Joe.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And
Jesus,
then
wasn't it Jesus loves me, this I know, and he had a mother named Mary Joe or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
And,
you go.
And if he doesn't love me, I'll take some hoe. But they also later have like a thing like where they talk about like if there's a God or not. Do you in
yes.
the lyrics they're like somebody's watching us, or maybe he isn't, maybe he doesn't. Like it's a very heady sort of.
Well, there are moments throughout
existential
this
song.
There are moments like that too. Like I guess. Butch at one point starts talking about Tony Robbins, and he's like, got to believe in Tony Robbins. He says, you know, when you put out the positivity, you have to earn it in your life. It's like, wait a second. Like, what's going on? Like,
that happened super early in the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, why did this start just getting weird Tony Robbins preachy?
And it's a very long shot. They're like super far away and they slowly walk the camera.
The director liked these shots of like sending the camera way far away. And I have to say, for a movie called Leprechaun, there's a good 18 to 20 minutes where there is no leprechaun in the first part of that movie. It's all about these rappers. And I mean, the leprechaun's frozen.
Well, there's the cold open.
The cold open, yeah. But
did anybody else feel like all of the...
all of the kind of B-roll stuff was just stock footage of LA from like 20 years previous to this movie being made. Like just people walking around on the streets, like all the exteriors. I was like, it looked this like, feels like
yeah.
footage they bought from a house that is from like a post house or something.
To me, it felt like the rejected scenes from the opening of Beverly Hills Cop 1. It could have been Detroit. It's like just random city, like nothing, like abandoned streets. Like nothing really was going on the streets. Like there's like a woman pushing a cart. It's a really sour look. And also Ice-T, bold if he's that big of a record producer to still have a place in Compton, like in
Compton.
And not even a great office, really. Not even a great
not
office.
Not really. You know what? Really not great office.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and when they're breaking into his office to steal the necklace off the leprechaun's in a glass case, and Butch is the explosive guy, is like putting explosives all over the glass case, like just fucking break it. You know, you've already broken in. Like, what are you being gentle for? Like, break the glass case.
Also, they break in very easily. They're like, we should break in, and it cuts to them in his office.
They're, like walking through the door.
Door opens.
You know, like, crazy.
Okay, so Leprechaun in the Hood, I recommend that you watch it. It is actually, it's worthwhile of a watch, I think.
Yeah, it's better than the space one, for sure.
And, I mean, the end gets really dark because, like we said, Postmaster Pete does not put the necklace back. Oh, I guess he does put the necklace back on him, but then he takes it off again because he's in Vegas and the leprechaun's in Vegas.
Yeah, it's got a dark ending. The bad guys win, the good guys lose.
Yeah, all the good guys die.
Jackie C and her son.
Yeah,
everybody in that family.
You guys are acting like Stray Bullet is a good guy, and he was not.
I guess they're all not good
guys. None of them are good guys. But that scene where Stray Bullet,
to get out of Compton,
he was the one that took his shirt off and wanted to break into Ice-T's place. Postmaster P was like, we can't do that.
Postmaster P is the one who shoots Ice-T.
That's true.
But I believe that was just in a moment of panic.
You believe the best
I don't
of
think,
Postmaster
yeah,
P.
I don't think he knew what he was doing.
He didn't understand the concept of right and wrong.
Yeah, he really didn't. Not
that scene where Stray Bullet shoots himself, like, I jumped. Like, that was, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
When it goes to black, I was like, holy shit.
It was really dark. It was really, and the end is really depressing, too, because even though he's in Vegas, like, they shot it in a black box theater. And there's nothing there. It's, like, some strobe lights and some, like, curtains that you would buy for, like, somebody's birthday. Like, it's that kind of material.
And he's possessed by the leprechaun.
And he's it's a dark ending, but I feel like it's like written by people who don't quite get rap. It's like, this is what happens to these kids. They have the best intention, and then society corrupts them, and that's it. Like it does not paint rap music, street culture, anything in a positive light. In a way, the leprechaun's the best thing that happened to these kids.
Yeah, they either win or they die. That's, I mean, what else is going to happen?
They're going to die by bullets or by leprechauns. All right, that is an end of another episode. Before we go, I want to tell you to check out earwolf.com. A lot of great stuff there. Like what? Like t-shirts. Like how did this get made t-shirts? That's right, we have Ridiculous Cage t-shirts. It's a Nicolas Cage screaming. It says Ridiculous Cage. It's pretty great. It's only $20. If you have a chest, you should wear this shirt. What else are you guys going to...
Don't get creepy.
You know what? If you don't have a chest...
Yeah, don't be creepy.
If you're a chestless individual and want to wear it as pants by putting your legs through the armholes, fucking do it.
And when your legs come together, it makes the image on the shirt. That's great. I like that.
Right?
It's like a Mad Magazine. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
What do you have coming up?
At Kumail N. Oh, can I plug a different podcast?
Please plug your podcast.
The Indoor Kids is a video game podcast that I host.
It's an awesome podcast, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. Paul's been on it.
I haven't been on it. That's weird.
Yeah, do you play video games?
June, have you been on it?
No, I haven't.
Huh, June doesn't play video games.
Oh, we talked about June not playing video games on your podcast.
Yeah.
I love your podcast. It's for anyone who has played video games in the past and like has a nostalgia for it, and then also for people who are gamers.
I mean,
right
I play video games. It's just not a big deal.
Jason, what are you doing after this, Jason?
Let's just not worry about it.
It's on Nerdist.com.
And you do a show here in L.A. If you're in L.A., you have to come check it out.
Yeah, every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. at Meltdown Comics, I host a comedy show with Jonah Ray, and it's really fun. You guys should go check it out.
Yeah, it's one of the best shows out here in L.A. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. To you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Jason Mantzoukas wishing Scott and everybody else of all stars and stripes a happy 15th anniversary, Comedy Bang Bang. You goddamn did it. Eat shit. Hang on, man.